Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Is there any hope for the dead? Now friends, there is no hope at all for the dead who go out of this world without the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. You see, the coming of Christ would have been in vain if man was not in sin. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, in the transgression of Adam, paradise was lost. Man was alienated from God. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5 at verse 12. Now we know Romans 3 verse 23 teaches that the wages of sin is death. But God in His grace and mercy made provision for the salvation of sinners such as I. How did He do that, friends? He sent His innocent, guiltless, sinless Son into this world to provide by His death and suffering the hope of eternal life for a sinner such as I. Indeed. You see, He suffered the suffering that should have been mine. He died the death that should have been mine. He came and gave Himself for me. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 21. Who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 24. But if Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and He did, Luke 19:10, and if He died to provide for my redemption, what should be my response to this unmerited favor of the Almighty and the indescribable sacrifice that His pure, guiltless, innocent Son made on my behalf? Well, that passage in Titus 2:11, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And that's wonderful indeed, but read on. Instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works, through verse 14. So the unmerited favor of God, His grace, provides for my salvation through a system of instruction. Right. Now that instruction was validated by the death of His Son. Where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of Him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death. For it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Hebrews 9, verses 16 and 17. Why did Christ validate a covenant, a testament, with His blood? Friends, it contains the instruction through which an intelligent human being, a thinking person, can come into a right relationship with God. Now, many people get the idea that since the grace of God is the pre-bringing salvation to all men, then all men are going to be saved. I mean, you know, just be a good person. Don't lie, don't cheat, and treat your neighbor right, and you're going... No. That's not the idea at all. As a matter of fact, it is far more serious than that. You see, Jesus came, died in my stead, left His last will and testament, a system of instruction. What about those who go out of this world without obedience to the instruction in this book? Well, friends, it's impossible to be saved without the blood of Christ. You see, without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Oh, and of course, the Old Testament never provided salvation or forgiveness anyway. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, Romans 3, verse 20, as well as Galatians 2, at verse 16. Why not? Well, Hebrews 10, verse 4 tells us that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And yet, the blood of Jesus Christ validated His covenant, makes salvation available to sinners such as I. What must I do with this instruction? Oh, Hebrews, you remember, He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. What is that, 5:9? Check me out. He's the author of salvation to whom? all of those who obey Him. Well, He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Oh, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5 at verse 3. Now, when we keep His commandments, what is involved? Well, Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. Yes, but someone may ask, how can I believe, how can I come to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Friends, the evidence is in this system of instruction made available by the shed blood of the Son of God. There is no question. When you read the Bible with an open mind, normal human being, there's no way but what you will understand that an infinite mind penned this book. Couldn't have been written by a man or by men. No, sir. Oh, then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 at verse 17. That's correct. So we read this Bible with an open mind. We come to understand that God loves us. He made a sacrifice that is beyond my ability to describe. And through that sacrifice, He provided the instruction through which I could stand before Him justified. Right, I believe it. Well, what am I going to do about it if I believe? Well, Jesus said to believers, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. Repentance? Friends, repentance, motivated by love, is making up your mind that you want to be like the one who sacrificed his life to redeem your soul. You want to be like the one whom you love. So you make up your mind, I'm not going to walk in sin and error willfully anymore. Now, repentance will make you perfect. No, sir. You'll make mistakes. There's no question about that. Tabernacle in the flesh? There's so many things that Satan throws at me. I mean, the obstacles that he places before me, the temptations that, sure, you'll make mistakes. Even though you love the Lord, you believe that He's the Son of God, you've made up your mind that you're not going to willfully sin anymore, you're not going to walk in error, you're going to order your life by the instruction in this book, oh, then you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Oh, then following His instruction, you are baptized for the remission of your sins. Oh, Acts 2, verse 38. That washes away your sins. Acts 22 at verse 16. Now, on occasion, someone will say, well, I preach of that. That's kind of, friend, salvation is made available by the grace of God. Oh, and I remember that Paul said, what is that, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10? For by grace have you been saved through faith. Oh, and that not of yourself. No, the salvation is the free gift of God. We understand about that, Romans 6, verse 23. Oh, but listen. For by grace, that's God's part, have you been saved through faith, that's man's part. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared that we should walk in them. Through verse 10. So notice, faith appropriates the benefits supplied by the grace of God and is recipient of the benefits promised or predicated thereupon. We understand that. Well then, what does this faith do? Just does what the Lord said do. And all. Human reasoning, of course. Sure, I remember that Paul made that statement. We've noted it many times. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? Oh, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. So then the grace of God has made available to sinners such as I the hope of eternal life. Right. In what way? As I walk in harmony with the instruction provided by His grace. Well, that's called faith. Faith is my part. God is omniscient. He doesn't have faith. He's all-knowing. I am the one that exercises faith. But what does faith do? Just read the Bible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. By faith, Abel offered. Oh, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen, is yet moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Faith does what the Lord requires. It's just that simple. But now, back to that question. Is there any hope for the dead? No, no. Not for those who die out of Christ. No, say. No hope at all. Salvation is in Christ. It is 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. How do you get into Christ? Oh, you're baptized into Christ, Romans 6, at verse 3. And until you're baptized into Christ, friend, you don't contact the blood of Christ. No, say. His blood was shed in His death, John 19, verse 34. You're baptized into His death, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Yes, sir. Oh, and then besides that, Jesus made the statement very clear, did He not? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot. It's impossible, out of the question. Except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, out of the question. John chapter 3 and verse 5. So if you die out of Christ, you're lost. And as Solomon said, of course, in Ecclesiastes, as the tree falls, so must it lie. As you die, so will you stand in judgment. The only hope of human redemption is while we are living, we tabernacle in the flesh. We either believe or we disbelieve God's word. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We understand that. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. We need to appreciate what the Lord has said. Now, for those who die in the Lord, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow after them. In Revelation 14 and verse 13. Yes, sir, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Ooh, Philippians 1 verse 21. No question about that. Yes, sir. That's what life is all about. Living our life so that we can live eternally with God in that blessed estate known as heaven. There's no question about that. Now, of course, there are those who say, well, now, yes, some people will come out of the memorial tombs. All people will come out of the tomb, memorial or otherwise. That's not in Scripture. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. John 5, 28 and 29. Wait. The hour, right, at the same time. They'll hear the voice of the Son of God. Come forth. Yes, sir. And you, being an immortal soul, will live forever. Where? That depends on what you do with the Lord's word while you live. You see, there are but two destinies for the souls of men. No way to go to heaven without being cleansed in the blood of Christ. It's simply out of the question. And you know, it's amazing how men confuse the minds of people by misapplying the Scripture. For instance, in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, you remember that Christ was crucified between two thieves. Both of them railed on Him to begin with. Oh, but one of them obviously repented, and he rebuked the other. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Well, this man has done nothing amiss. And then he said this, Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Ah, and Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What? 1,000 years from now, when I set up my kingdom, he set up his kingdom over 2,000 years ago. No, he's not coming back to set up a kingdom. He came the first time to do that. Jesus said, today. What? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why, certainly. Oh, they both died that day. Right. Died? Yeah, death is a separation of body and spirit. We understand that. The body without the spirit is dead. James chapter 2, verse 26. Well, somebody says, preacher, what happens at physical death? Oh, we noted that, didn't we? Genesis chapter 35, verse 18, speaking of Rachel, she's giving birth to her second son. Oh, it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died. That's what happens. Separation of body and spirit. You can't bury a live person. And until the person who lived in that tabernacle departs, then you can't dispose of the body. Immoral and illegal. No. Death is a separation of body and spirit. Where does the body go? Well, listen to Solomon, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. At the point of death, the body returns to the dust as it was. Oh, but the spirit back to God who gave it. Where does that spirit go? there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now that's Luke 16, beginning verse 19, but let's notice what's said. The beggar died, was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Yes. Oh, you mean they just picked up his body? No, he died. They buried the body, had to dispose of it, probably in the field of blood, the Keldama. He couldn't, of course, afford a proper burial. Oh, but notice what verse 22 says. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh, but in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. His body is in the tomb. They buried him. He's dead. The only reason he's dead is because he left the body. It's the body that's dead, not the person. No, sir. Friend, you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. There will never be a period of unconsciousness. No, sir. When you die, there's perfection. You see, God is a spirit. John 4:24, we've noticed this many times. Now, spirit doesn't have flesh and bone, verse 39, Luke chapter 24. Right. So, our being made in the image and the likeness of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, has nothing to do with the physical man. Well, certainly not. It has to do with who you are. Who are you? You're an immortal spirit possessed of free moral agency. Creature of choice. That's why there were two trees in the garden, one to life, one to death. You make the choice. But when you leave this body, perfection, you're equipped for perfect bliss or perfect punishment. Oh, and the only person that stands justified before God is the person who, by faith, gives himself in humble obedience to the Lord's will. Oh, indeed. That's what salvation is all about. Is there any hope for the dead? Yes, sir, for those who die in Christ. But not for those who die out of Christ. Just the two classes, lost and saved. Friends, we need to study the Scripture and understand that. People have various ideas and they build a whole system on a particular verse and they take the Old Testament that deals with temporary situations and make an eternal application out of it. Israel is going to abide in the land forever. No, God destroyed Israel in AD 70. I mean, Judaism was removed. There's no way that you can reestablish Judaism anymore. There can be no nation of Israel in the biblical sense, because Herod and Idumean destroyed the genealogical tables. The Jew doesn't know which tribe he came from. But then you can't reestablish the sacerdotal system or priestly system of the Old Testament. Why, certainly not. And then besides that, if you did, you'd lose your soul. Galatians, you remember chapter 5, verse 4, you're severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, you are fallen away from grace. You see, the law had no power to forgive sin in the first place. We noted that, didn't we? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Even Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Come on. Nobody keeps the law today. And if you did, you'd lose your soul. Salvation is in Christ, is 2 Timothy 2:10. So there is hope for those who die in the Lord, but no hope for those who die out of Christ. There will be no second chance. So as the tree falls, so shall it lie. As you die, so must you stand in judgment. And the basis of that judgment we've noted many times. John chapter 12, verse 48. Oh, the Lord makes that very clear. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And every one of those words recorded right here. Somebody says, well, I can't understand it. Then you won't have to worry about it. It's written down between the 6th and the 8th grade level. And many of the words are monosyllable, a single syllable word. It's no trouble to understand what the Bible says. The problem man has is believing what the Lord said and resisting this whole physical realm. Most people are governed by the physical senses. That won't work. No. Faith cometh the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is there hope for the dead? Only for those who die in the Lord. But there's another question I wanted to get to, and I'm sure we'll not have time for it. How may I pray and be heard of the Almighty, the blessed God of heaven. Well, now, you have to understand also this thing of our relationship to the Lord. There are two families on the earth, spiritually speaking. Those are the only two. There is the family of God, which, of course, is the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 19. Well, then there's the family of the devil. Now, I remember that Jesus made the statement, talking to those Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, well, that's certainly true. Until you make God your father, you're a child of the devil. There's the only the two families, spiritually speaking, on the earth. Well, somebody says, well, how can I make God my father? Oh, back to John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born from above, anew, or we say again, and that's correct, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. Except one be born again? Right. Nicodemus is disturbed. We understand that. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Why, certainly not. So Jesus explained verse 3 and verse 5. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let's look at this a little more closely. There came unto him a man named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. Oh, Nicodemus then is a child of God under the law. Well, certainly born of Jewish parents. He was circumcised on the eighth day of his life. That automatically made him a child of God under the law. But Jesus said that won't work, Nicodemus. You must be born anew. Well, now, Lord, are you talking about another physical birth? Well, certainly not. The very idea. No, no. He's talking about a spiritual birth. But how does this take place? Except one be born of water and of the Spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Where do you use water in your obedience to the truth? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles in writing the New Testament. Oh, and they very clearly taught what Jesus told them in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The result? Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, we understand that, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Baptized in what? Philip opened his mouth, preached unto him Jesus, as the one on the way that came to a certain water. The eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What doth enter me to be baptized? Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. You're baptized in the element of water. Why should you be baptized? Because Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And unless you're baptized, your sins won't be washed away, Acts 22, 16. Unless you're baptized, your sins won't be forgiven. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You're baptized in the element of water, and without that, you can't enter the kingdom of God.